morning, Majestic Baptist. It was in October that the local Gideons were doing a Bible distribution on the campus of CSU Pueblo. And I had the opportunity to encounter a young lady. And when I extended a testament like this one to her, she said to me, "Can I tell you my story?" Kind of caught me by surprise, but I said, "Sure," and found a place to sit at a bench nearby. And this is what Christine began to share with me. She said her and her boyfriend Daniel were on their way to California because Daniel had accepted employment in California. And they began a trip. They were in a common law relationship. And they started out, left Pueblo and headed west. But it seemed the farther they went west, the trip went south because they began to indulge in drinking some recreational drugs and just partying like they hadn't before. So on one of those stops, they came to a motel and checked in, and Daniel became very abusive, verbally abusive, physically abusive. And he began to beat her and cause pain. And she looked in the mirror as she went in the bathroom and saw the bruises that she had been receiving from Daniel. And she realized that she was in trouble and she was in a bad way. Well, there in that hotel room was a Bible like this one, and she went out and began to read it. Daniel was inebriated and intoxicated and didn't pay much attention. But as she began to read that Bible, she said to me, she heard the Holy Spirit tell her, "Get your things together and take this opportunity and go back home." You see, they were driving her vehicle, so it made it easy for her to make an exit. So Christine did that, and she found her way all the way back to Pueblo. She had enrolled in classes at CSU Pueblo, and she came in contact with me and shared that wonderful testimony. So thank God for the Bible that was in the room of the hotel, that Christine was able to find peace and comfort in God's Word. I'm thankful to report that the Gideons continue to place God's Word in all the traffic lanes of life. Some of those traffic lanes are schools, jails, institutions of higher learning like CSU Pueblo, Pueblo Community College, the police, the fire, the military, first responders, and everywhere where people are waiting for services, we're able to place God's Word. You see, we believe in the scripture that says in Isaiah 55 and 11, it says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void." God said that He would prosper it anywhere it went. And so we're thankful to know that the Gideons have been in existence for 125 years. They have placed over 2.5 billion scriptures all over the world. We praise God for that. And the thing that's wonderful about that is that each Bible represents at least one soul. But in many cases, one Bible has touched many, many lives. And it has sometimes served to win an entire family, even a small community, to the Lord because of the fact that the people that receive the Word of God in countries, we are organized in 200 countries, territories, and possessions. And this Bible, this Word of God, is translated in 100 languages. And so we're thankful that no matter where the word goes, we're confident that it will change lives. So this is what I'm here to report to you today. And I'm also want to say thank you to Majestic. I've been a Gideon for 21 years, and of those 21 years, Majestic Baptist has faithfully partnered with us, and every year you have faithfully given, you've prayed for us, you've helped and supported us, you've encouraged us in every way that you could. So I'm thankful for the relationship that I have with your pastor, Pastor Scott. His wife, Alicia, has a special connection to the Gideons. I believe one of her family members is a Gideon. So we thank God for that. I have a video I want to show, and so I'm ready for that. And then when the video is done, I'll come back and do a closing and then transition to a brief message.
It was a cult. I didn't know anything about it. And to be honest with you, I wanted to be a good Jehovah Witness. We lived in the state of California, and soon we moved to the state of Washington, and we lived on a little island in the Puget Sound called Whidbey Island. It was about an hour from Seattle. And there I'd go door to door, and I'd distribute their watchtowers and awakes. We didn't celebrate birthdays and holidays and Christmas. In fact, to me, Christmas was one of the loneliest days of the year. We didn't salute the flag. But that was still okay because I was trying to do what my parents were directing me to do, and it was the only thing I knew in my life. But the more I tried to serve this cult, this organization, the more loneliness I felt inside and the more despair, and I couldn't understand why. I couldn't understand why, if I was doing everything I was supposed to be doing, why I felt so bad at night, bad all the time. And I remember when I was 15 years old, I just went to bed one night, and I was just crying to God. In fact, I cried, and I just yelled to God. I said, God, I said, if you are up there, is this all there is to life? Is this all there is? And I remember going to bed that night just crying. I was hurting so bad. But, you know, I think God heard my prayer that night, because a couple weeks later, I just couldn't take it anymore, and I decided I was going to run away from home. I was 15 years old. I remember I put pillows underneath my blankets, and I snuck out the bedroom window, went to a friend's house and spent the night. And the next morning, I caught a boat ride over to the mainland and caught a ride into the plane terminal in Seattle and bought a plane ticket to Fort Smith, Arkansas. And people often ask me, well, why Fort Smith, Arkansas? Well, my grandparents lived there, and they were the only people in the world I knew I could turn to, and they didn't even know I was coming. But I just got on that plane. I never will forget getting on that plane. I was scared. I was crying. And I was lost in more ways than one. I got to my grandparents on a Monday or Tuesday. And I never will forget they invited me to church that Wednesday night. And folks, it was just a normal Wednesday night service like we all go to an evangelical church. The pastor met me at the front door of the church. He shook my hand. We had a service. They had a prayer, a couple songs, and they had a message. It, nothing out of the ordinary, just a normal, small country church Wednesday night service. But something happened in that service that I couldn't explain. And as we were going home, we lived about 15 miles out in the country, I turned to my grandparents. I said, Nano Gramps, I said, I felt something in that service that I can't explain. I feel like a baby wrapped in its mother's arms. What is that feeling? And I never will forget, my grandmother just looked at me and she smiled and she said, well, son, that is the Holy Spirit ministering to you. Folks, I had no idea what that meant. I didn't even know what that meant. And I just took it in, and I was so taken back by it. Well, that next Sunday morning came along. She came into my bedroom and she shook me on the shoulder and she said, well, son, it's time to go to church. And I just kind of looked at her and I said, well, I don't think I'm going. And, you know, maybe I was scared of another religion. Maybe I was scared to commit. Or maybe I was just so far away from the truth that I couldn't see if it was right in front of my eyes. But you got to know my grandmother. She didn't leave. She just stood by the side of the bed, and she put her hand on her hip like this. And she said, "Well, son, in this house, we go to church on Sunday morning. Are you going?" And she said it a little bit more emphatically that time. And I never will forget looking at her. Because I look back at that point in my life and I realize there's the fork in the road of my life. How I answered that question would probably affect me for the rest of my life. And I remember I just kind of paused and hesitated. And finally I said, "Okay, I'll go." And I started to go. I'd sat in the very back of the services. I didn't really take part. I kept quiet. This went on for like a month or two until one Sunday morning, as I was walking into the foyer of the church, a man greeted me. And all I got was part of his name was Gene. And then he just said, "Are you a Christian?" And guys, my heart started to pump like that. And I just looked at him with this big smile I got on my face right now. I said, "No." And he said, "Well, would you like to be right now?" And I thought to myself, who is this guy? And my heart was pumping even harder like this. And I said, "Well, no, not really, sir." And he said, "Well, that's okay." He said, "I'd like to give you something." And he pulled this Bible out of his pocket. He said, "I'd like to give you this." And he shared some scriptures with me. He even shared with me there's a place in the back. If I ever give my heart to Christ, I can sign my name. He says, "If I give you this Bible, will you take it home and begin to read it?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I will." And then he left away. He said, "I'll be praying for you." I said, "Okay." And as he left, guys, to be honest with you, I was kind of glad when he left because he scared me. But he also challenged me more so than any other person in my life. It's just he reached into my very body, my very heart, my very soul, and just slipped my heart open, and he just placed the Word of God where no one had placed it before. Well, I took this Bible home. I began to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I just couldn't get enough of it. And I couldn't believe the story about this guy called Jesus Christ because I didn't know anything about him. With the Jehovah's Witnesses, they would lead you all over the place. But when I read the scriptures, I realized about the saving power of Christ. And I just couldn't get enough of the Word. And this went on for a couple weeks until one Sunday night. I went to the service. The pastor gave his message. And to be honest with you, I didn't even hear what the message was about. But at the very end, he then said, "Is there anybody here that would like to receive Christ as their Savior?" And it just felt like somebody was tapping me on the shoulder like this. And I tried to hold on to the edge of the podium and the pew that I was sitting on, but it just didn't work. And finally, I let go, and I ran down to the altar, and I knelt at the altar. And the pastor said, "Would you like to receive Christ as your Savior?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I would." And I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. You know, God is so good. God is so good. He took me from a cult on Whidbey Island, took me away from all that junk, pulled me away from that, and placed the Word of God in my heart where no one had placed it before, just to reach out to me. And, you know, I often look back at my testimony and I wonder, I said, "Well, God, who was responsible for my testimony? Was it the Gideon who gave me the Bible? Was it that dear pastor of mine? By the way, I'm still in that same church today. And it's been over 40 years. Or was it my grandmother who put her hand on her hip and said, 'In this house, we go to church on Sunday night'?" And I often look back at that and I realize that the early church used to argue about the two. They used to say, "Well, I'm saved him and I'm saved him." But remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? He said, "Who then is Paul? Who then is Apollos? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase." You see, God is responsible for all of our salvations, but he uses all of us working together to reach the lost for Jesus Christ. I remember when I first started sharing my testimony, I had to write it down. I typed it all up because I didn't want to forget anything. And I began to pray over it. And after I prayed over it the first day, it just didn't seem right. I had a check on my spirit. I prayed the second day, and I still had a check on my spirit. And finally, the third day, God showed me that this really wasn't my testimony. Because God showed me that my testimony, it didn't end back then. It only began back then. And just as God has revealed much of my personal testimony to me in just the last few years in this ministry known as Gideon's, I know he has great things in store for me and all of his people. You know, I'm so excited about the Gideons, and when I go share my testimony, there's usually a reason why I share it. And maybe it's to reach a lost one. Maybe it's to encourage Gideons to be more bold in their witness, like that man called Eugene Harris, who was a Gideon in my own camp. Or maybe it's just to reach out to someone. And tonight, I want to reach out on a personal note to one of the most important people in my life, and it's my son, Eric Dodd. Is Eric here somewhere? Could you stand, Eric? There's Eric right there. Eric, I just want to say something, Eric. Your mom and I love you very much, and I know you're going through some struggles, but just as God has touched my life and taken me through struggles, I know He can take you through those same struggles through. Because see, the God that saved me is still saving me today. And when God used His Bible to touch my life, He not only changed my life, but He changed my family. He changed my wife. He changed our children. And He changed our family for generations to come. Guys, this is a great Bible, an exciting Bible. And this Bible can change lives. I know it changed mine. Thank you very much.
What a powerful testimony. And I just want to go over a couple of closing points. I know all of you are aware of the Gideon Card program. It's the Gideon Card Bible program. It gives you an opportunity to send a card and to give the word and to see a life change. The display is in the foyer, so I just want to encourage you to take advantage of that. I also want to mention the fact that we have a program called Friends of Gideons. And you have an opportunity to become our friend, our prayer partner. You can also be a supporter if you choose to. Nothing mandatory or required, but becoming a friend of Gideon's gives you a lot of information, keeps you abreast of what's happening through Gideon's International. And then, of course, today you received this insert. And there are three very, very good testimonies. One from Sandy, one from Brandon, and one from Hermesia from Indonesia. So I just want to encourage you, when you take this home with you, just take the time just to read those testimonies, and then you'll have an opportunity to just rejoice in what God is doing in the Gideon ministry. And again, I want to say thank you for all your support for the many, many years of partnership from this church. God bless you. And I just want to transition now into hopefully being able to share some encouraging words. This year's theme for the Gideons is holding fast. And as you can only imagine, we're just wanting to hold fast to God's word. We're wanting to be able to take opportunity to preach, to proclaim it publicly, and we also want to present it. One of the other translations, which is King James Version, says holding forth the Word of God. In other words, presenting it. So Paul, in this letter that he wrote to the Philippian church, at the beginning of chapter 2, he began to encourage them, and it says, from verse 3, it says, "Do nothing from selfish ambitions or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." He was encouraging the people there to be in a humble spirit, to be able to serve, and I hear that this church has a Be the Church Sunday once a month. And I think that's amazing. I think that's awesome that your pastor has decided to help you find a place to serve. And so that tells me that you're already servant-minded. And this is wonderful to hear that you're serving and you're loving your community. And so it says on further, the scripture in the 16th verse, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud I did not run in vain or labor in vain. And Paul wanted them to know that all of his labor, he didn't want it to be in vain, but if he could see them holding forth the word of God, if he could see them living the word of God, if he could see them presenting the word of God, publicly declaring and proclaiming God's word, then he would have confidence in the fact that the word of God would be a part of their lives, and they would shine as lights in this crooked and perverse generation. So those are just a few words of encouragement I wanted to share with you as we continue to hold forth the word of God. It's our desire to let the word of God dwell in us richly so that we can model the Christ-like servanthood, so that we could demonstrate God's love to our community. We're living in a time where it's dark, it's difficult, it's challenging, and we know that we have the answer. Amen? We have the answer, and the answer is Jesus Christ. So God bless you. Thank you for your attention today. Thank you for your attention to the ministry and all of your prayers. We really appreciate it. God bless you.